The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's in the 31st chapter. And we read Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on that day, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with those with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is found in Paul's letter to the Romans, the third chapter, and we read verses 19 through 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. By the law of faith. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, and we read verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is Jesus' words about freedom in the gospel lesson for today. So Jesus said to the Jews who have believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is our text. What is freedom? About 3,000 years ago, the Jews living in Egypt thought they knew what freedom was. It was escaping from slavery and going back to the land from which they came, the land of Canaan. And they cried out to God for freedom. God sent Moses. He led them out. And when they arrived at the promised land for the first time, about 2 years after they had left Egypt, they sent spies in to spy out the land, and they came back. And they said, "It's a great place. The land flowing with milk and honey. Wonderful place to live. But it has these giants. We are not able to conquer them." So said 10 of the spies who came back. 2 said something different. Yes, they saw the same things. They told the people that the Lord is on their side. They reminded them of all the miracles that had already been done to bring them to the place where they currently were, on the edge of entering into the promised land. Moses pleaded with the people to listen to God, to trust in his promises. And they took up stones to stone him. So opposed they were to receiving the gift that God was about to give them, because they were afraid to trust the word God had given them. Words of promise, hope, of victory. He had already proved he could do so many times before. It was 1,000 years later, roughly. Jesus is in Jerusalem. And he's speaking again to the Jews about freedom. Their initial answer to Jesus' statement may sound a little perplexing. They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Wait a second, did they forget about Egypt? What do they mean, they haven't ever been enslaved to anyone? Well, the definition of freedom in the Jewish mind had changed over the years, especially after they got carted off to Babylon for abandoning God. Coming back, they had come to see the law of God and the ability to live under the law of God as their freedom. And they were pretty stubborn about it, especially the Pharisees. But there was a problem with understanding freedom as the ability to keep the law of God. And quite confident you are all well aware. It's kind of hard to do. And so the Pharisees had invented a bunch of other laws, if you will, to help them keep the law. 613, to be exact. Definitions of what exactly was work on the Sabbath day. I've shared this one before, but you know, if you're walking through a grain field, you could pick up a piece of grain with your finger if you were hungry and rub it between your fingers and eat it. But if you took your hand and did this, well, now you're harvesting and that would be breaking the law. You could walk around your house 10,000 times on the Sabbath and not break the law. But if you walked a half mile out of town, then you were breaking the law. And they called living under those kind of regulations freedom. Jesus had a different understanding of what freedom is. It's not political. And it's not, in one sense, the ability to follow your own set of regulations in life. The freedom of God is freedom from sin. But how do you obtain that? Try as you might, even add new regulations to your life. You're still going to end up at the end of the day being a lawbreaker. Sin is a slavery. In the first place, it's not something that we can get rid of our own. But sin has all kinds of chains that bind us to it. Why couldn't the Israelites enter the promised land when God was telling them again and again he was going to give it to them? Fear. Rooted in relying on ourselves instead of relying on the grace, the mercy, the gifts that God gives us. If you've ever done something that you really didn't think was the right thing to do because somebody guilted you into doing it, raise your hand. Guilt. It's another favorite tool of Satan. And the world knows it so well. Childhood on, the people we know, even the people we think are our friends, our family, they use it to guilt us into doing that which we know is not the right thing to do, but we just got to do it. Fear, guilt, worry. These are the chains by which Satan binds us to choosing sin. If you can't get rid of the guilt, you can't get rid of the fear, you can't get rid of the worry, you can't get rid of the doubt, then sin has you. In one sense, it's not the word, all the words of Jesus that are those words which really set us free. Because many times, Jesus did talk about the law of God. But the word, that word which grants us real freedom, the word which God gives us in his gospel. The good news. That through the death and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, sin and death have been conquered. Forgiveness is ours, not because of what we do, but because of what Christ has done. It's a gift. Death no longer has a grip over us. Not because we can find some vaccine. Not because we have all kinds of medical advancements and tools. No. It no longer has a grip on us because it's been conquered through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. To all who trust in him, life is guaranteed because he is the resurrection. Life. What is tomorrow going to bring? We don't know. But we're not worried about it. But because we know that a loving and gracious God will be there to provide us with the gifts and the tools that we need to manage whatever this world throws at us. And in that words of that hymn we sang as our opening, and if they take they our life, goods, fame, child, wife, they yet have nothing won. He's judged, the deed is done, the kingdom ours remaineth. It is that word that Luther rediscovered, the teachings of Scripture. The word of the gospel, which frees us from all the things that drive everybody else in this world, makes us free to choose a different path than the path of sin, and instead allows us to follow a path of hope, love, charity, goodness, of self-control. Because we're not worried about tomorrow. Because guilt has no power over us. Because the fear even of death itself has no power. Because we really are free. That's the freedom that Jesus Christ came to bring to you and I and to all the world. Interestingly, however, just as Moses had problems at the border of Israel or the land of Canaan, as Israel picked up stones to stone him, when all he was trying to say is, take the gift God has given you and trust him. If you turn the page in the Bible, as Jesus ends his discussion with the Jews before him, that's exactly what he got too. They picked up stones to stone him, not believing that he could truly give to them what he says he could and ultimately has. You know, in a way, it sounds really strange. Hope, forgiveness, promise of eternal care. I mean, who could be against these things? And yet, when you don't have the trust in God that we, God willing, have, when you don't believe that God is really capable of giving you these things, they sound like nonsense to the world. And indeed, people will become angry when you say that this is what freedom truly is and live in that kind of freedom. May God grant that we, who do trust in God's saving word, never lose sight of what freedom really is. And in a world that is enslaved by sin, let us be witnesses to them. That word, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only has set us free, can free them as well. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.